right,
we're in
so,
closed session.
Greg wasn't on with us before, was he? It was just Jeff.
Just Jeff.
Just Jeff.
He's on Ian's cell phone, and Greg had called in via the same number that I was on.
Oh, Greg is
on. I heard some
Greg
beeping. I heard some beeping. Greg, are you on?
He shouldn't be on now, but he was before.
Oh,
okay.
How do we know?
That's why I had him call myself.
Oh.
Oh.
You know what?
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just
so.
No bad idea.
All right, Bob. Let me just ask you again. Greg, are you on the line? Bob, will you disconnect the line and call back into the conference line just as a precaution?
That way, if you don't.
Just hang up.
Yeah, hang up everybody. Disconnect everybody.
Just wait, you know what, hang up and wait 30 seconds so the line clears.
Yeah, because then if he does beep, then you'll hear it.
I heard a lot of beeping, but I thought
I thought it was just Bob.
I didn't realize anybody else had this number because I didn't give it to Jeff.
So
you're so disciplined as far as the sugar. Way to go. Way to go.
So distrusting. It's just so distrusting.
I've got the most recent red line. Should we get it printed out and sent to Bob?
I'm going to keep drinking Bob.
Welcome to the Weber County Conference Bridge. Please enter your PIN number now.
Hey, did you eat my pickle?
No, it was mine from yesterday.
Sorry, we did not receive all the
digital
dials. Please try again.
One thing you almost have, but not quite, is old man strength.
You are the first member of this conference call. Thank you.
This is what they have.
You waved it around, offered it to everyone else. And then
yeah, because you wanted it. It was the only thing I could eat. I was using Jennifer as my example and not going for sugar. You had the cookie. There's another one over there. Go ahead and have it.
You ate the pickle, didn't you?
I sure did. And it was tasty.
Okay, I'm back.
Bob's
Hi,
back.
Bob. Good morning.
Right. Bob is back.
Bob is back.
Greg's not on the line, presumably.
No, nobody else is beeping in.
We've lost Ebert for a minute, it looks like, but we still have Harvey Reynolds in the room, and as well as Carrie Singer, Paul Hurst, and Rachel, and myself. All right. Paul, I think this is for you to lead out on and let us know where you are and what your thoughts are as we go forward. And
what I'm going to do, Mr. Chairman, is I'm going to, you know, this was still hot when I walked in. She was still, Rachel was still making
edits.
We
were editing this until about 10:20.
And then again at 4 this morning. And
what if I sent you this version?
Or send it to each of, to all three commissioners. Jen doesn't. I can give, Jen, what do you have in terms of a copy?
I have what's in the packet.
How about if I do
we have a more
one?
Modern?
You
okay.
Send
more
the
updated?
Other three.
Well, what
got
I've
their,
got is a different red line.
I know.
Okay.
I know. But
I have whatever
it.
Was in the
okay.
packet, Paul.
Jen, what I'm going to do is give you mine.
Do you want
and then what Rachel's going to do is she's going to email to you right now the latest edition.
The latest and greatest.
Of the document, and then she'll read through the differences because Bob and Jen have one version.
Yeah,
you will have the three of you will have the latest version.
Well, can Bob and Jen have the latest version? Also? That's what the email
send
is.
Send it to everyone.
Yeah. Send it to everyone. But I don't know if Jen's on. Jen's
no, Carrie's making me a copy of that red line right now.
Well, the red line that I have is the most updated red line that hasn't been printed by anyone.
Oh, it hasn't.
No,
so we were working
not.
On it.
Is your name Daniel Galgler?
No. Okay.
I'm still waiting for an update.
It's coming. I need your email addresses because it's not coming up on the.
It's J Harvey. Or J.
Okay, it popped up. Okay.
Or J Ebert.
J. There you go.
Or Ken Gibson.
Ken Gibson.
Dolores Gibson. D Gibson.
Okay. Jennifer, you're more one. Is that right?
Yeah, it is, but you're gonna. I don't have it on my phone here. That's
okay.
A work. Email, so it's on
I'm
my
gonna
iPad.
See if I can't get us some
can
hard copy prints here. Just a
yes.
Second.
Yes, this is Jen, J-E-N, A-N-D-B-R-I, at hotmail.com.
Let me get that. I'm gonna get some hard copies.
Yeah.
Bob, I can't get you a hard copy. Sorry.
Go through this discussion, have a vote, or
probably not.
Yeah, so it's Jen and Bri at hotmail.
We're trying.
Thank
just
you.
Holler.
Okay. Yeah, I don't put the work one on here.
It's right here.
Bob, what's your email?
A vice chair at Powder Mountain Water Sewer.
Or MacDaddy@hotmail.com.
Set of copies of that.
Okay. We are waiting for copies, but we are going to lose Commissioner Ebert soon, so...
Right, we can start talking about it.
If Paul, if you will lead out and start talking...
I also don't have great service in here, so...
Okay, so let me give you... I'll give you my...
Seems to have gone through quickly.
I'll give you my perspective on the back and forth, at least the background and the history on this, and then we can get in there.
She's printing it now.
Oh, you got it. Okay, I've got it.
Then we can walk through the...
And a hard copy will be just printed.
Okay,
I just got it also.
I've got it, so...
He'd like something to drink.
Eat cookies.
Whiskey.
You'd like a Mountain Dew.
Okay. Don't ask for a pickle and then take it away from you after you offer it to you.
It's on the very bottom. It's the squat Mountain Dew. Squat.
Just start talking.
Okay, here I go. Okay. Everybody listen if you want to. Okay. Here's the history of how it went down. You recall that I sent to you about a week ago, I sent you the version that I had negotiated with Greg and staff at Summit relative to this easement agreement. It had in it the infamous recital B, paragraph B, the 400,000 gallon storage tank thing that some were objecting to. I'm going to hit the hot spots. And then the other one was, of course, then when we got into the whereases, and it talks about 94 gallons per minute for 148 connections plus 7 plus a 10% buffer. Those were the hot items. The other one that went back and forth, and I feel we got to a good place, is the easement. That was even further refined from what Rachel had signed off on. In that process, I was working between Rachel, Don Barnett, Chairman, Mr. Harvey, in terms of trying to get some, and Bob peppered in there now and then, trying to get some sense of consensus, and Jen and I had something, you know, so we all had an input, you know, I had a lot of chefs in the kitchen. And that's what I came up with on the one that I sent to you. In the intervening period, of course, there was objection on the part of this body, which was fine. I'm fine with objection. I didn't take it personally. I didn't get hurt. You know, I just said, okay, tell us what you want to do. And in a last ditch effort. And I have to admit, you know, Bob pushing back, and then there was just innumerable conversations between me and Greg Moreau, even as late as 10 o'clock at night now and then, like Monday night. Greg moved off of his hard line, and then he had a discussion with Bob yesterday. And I got a text from Bob that they had the conversation. We didn't connect, but Greg made sure that I connected with him and gave me his impression of the conversation. And then Rachel and Don were interjected back in again, and Rachel
and
I
had a personal conversation.
And we had some
personal. And Greg last night.
Yeah. Okay. And so this has gone through just a full spiral, multifaceted spiral. So what you will have coming before you in just a moment is what has been penciled out so far, or redlined out, or agreed to so far. Rachel's played a very strong role, and I'm appreciative of her efforts. And I've tried to interject some thoughts of, from a business standpoint, I guess is the best way to put it, isn't it, as to what this means to us. So. What we have now is we have a document that I think I know I'm pretty certain Summit's basically on board with, and if we're on board with it, I think we can come, as Bob put it early this morning to me in a text, we can come to yes on this thing and move, hopefully move on. The other dynamic that you need to be aware of, and I sent this message out in case you didn't read it, was that last Thursday the State Water Resources Board what we didn't anticipate gave us a commitment on the funds for building the well house, drilling the well, which I didn't expect to have till August. We have the state's, we have the drill cart so we can drill the well. And I've got the bond attorney cranking on, and he just couldn't make it in terms of getting it done today, cranking on getting all the necessary documentation that we have to pass on, that you have to pass on as a board, ready for a meeting that we really need to hold, I'm sorry, in 2 weeks to consider all those bonding documents. I apologize. I'll bring a donut or something for all of you.
You're a meeting whore. You love meetings. I can't believe it. A-W-H-O-R-E, that one.
P-I-C-K-L-E. Oh, my gosh.
A-L-I-C-E. No.
Okay. So, at any rate, that's the background of where we are and what's going to happen. We are ready. You know, by then we'll be ready to put for bid the site grading so that we can get a drill rig on site, and we've got the drilling contractors pre-qualified. All we have to do is put that document out and get their number back, and we could still make it this season. We can still make it if we get to yes. That's my pitch.
Okay, so can you point out as quickly as you can what the changes were that you said that Greg agreed to within the last couple of days that are different than what we saw a week ago?
Yes, and I'm going to use Rachel as the person for that, if you don't mind.
Yeah, I can, and please interject, Paul, as well, because I'm sure I might miss something. One of the big things you'll notice is that we've kind of separated out the allocation and right of first refusal agreement and have the easement as an attachment. So the easement that will be filed will be more of a standalone easement. It won't have all this other agreement junk in it. So when that's recorded on the property, it will just look like of your basic easement, which I really like.
That's like good.
Good. Good.
Yeah, and so that's kind of the first thing you'll see. We edited the recital B that people haven't liked just a tiny bit. I don't know all these particular facts. I'm just going off of what Paul and Don have told me, and so I know there's been some concerns about whether these recitals are factually correct or not, and so I'll leave that to you. But one of the changes they made here is rather than saying after the execution of the development agreement, Summit has funded or provided a number of benefits for the district, it mm-hmm. now says prior and subsequent to the execution of the development agreement. That's to point out the fact that not all of this happened after the development agreement. And then we took out a number of benefits for the district, meaning that some of these things weren't done necessarily for the district, meaning it doesn't make it seem so much like the district is beholden to Summit for these wonderful things they did.
Stand by. Sorry to interrupt. Mm-hmm. Stacy just brought to me, I don't know what Carrie did. But Stacy just brought to me the thing you emailed. So let me pass this around so we're all singing out of the same hymn book.
Thank you.
Sorry, okay. Paul.
I thought this is what you had. This is what I'm
looking at. So lost. No, it's different.
It's different.
It's different.
Yeah, this is the one I'm looking at. So great.
You'll notice how well that slid in. Paul, if
you'll give that to her. Yes, thank you.
So anyway, that's the change that was made there. Then we get to the agreement part.
You're on page of yours.
And now I'm on page two.
Okay. Page two. Page two. Bob, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
Thank you.
Go ahead. Oh, gosh. Okay.
So we redefined this excess capacity thing. We left in the 94 gallons per minute as the district's, you know, initial reserve capacity.
Okay, are we good with that
yes.
number?
Yes.
Should we?
Don is okay with the number, Paul's okay with the number, and I defer to their expertise on that point.
Okay, as long as
the gallons per minute makes sense.
Yeah.
Connections, that's the problem.
I'm trying to move through this quickly. They removed the reference to the 124 platted obligations, which I thought was a big concession because that seemed to be a big sticking point for them previously.
We added the lead is in. Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then, let's see how this works. And then, step in, Paul, and explain
we,
this.
We recognize the 24 connections we're obligated to, to provide to Alita. And so that, I feel that's important to keep in just so that nobody thinks that we pulled a number out of the air. And then, of course, the excess water capacity, this is 2I on page 3. It just it takes out all of the stuff other than Greg shortened up period. Let's see here. This is where the we have a potential for a commitment to maybe 7 residential connections at Snowflake. What was it called? Up top. The condos up top.
Oh, down in
Powder Ridge.
Powder Ridge condos.
Thank you. And then we had the fluff. The 10% fluff, roughly, for any other obligations.
Is that the unknown?
Unknown.
But it doesn't have a number to it.
Oh, we don't know.
Right.
We don't want a number to it.
You said 10%. That's why I was.
Well, the 10%. That's how we.
Yeah, I do have an issue with that because under that 2, subsection I, subsection B, says any unknown legal obligations of the district to serve single family homes.
I have an extra comment on that. So there's one change that we have worked. That I've been discussing with the Summit people just during this meeting. It hasn't even made it into there because I brought that up. You know, I said, I don't know about limiting it to single family homes.
Exactly.
In our conversations yesterday, they seemed completely 100% willing to allow the district to add in these one-off connections here and there.
Well, we have parcels that they could be multifamily, could be condominium. You know, we have some large parcels that are known to us that are platted. I'm not sure what they pay for non-connect fees or how many units they could put in them legally or what the county would allow, but they might not be single family homes. They may be multifamily. They may be, you know, that I don't want to have our hands tied if somebody who is legally in the district paying a non-connect that the county says you can build this and then we, you know, I don't like this term single family homes. I know where he's coming from because he said point blank he's trying to stop some other developers that are up there right now, and I understand he's a developer. He doesn't want somebody else putting in things.
Competing.
Competition. I get that. I understand that.
But he has to.
But I do not like having single family home put on here because it ties our hands and we will be sued because they have parcels that they can put whatever the county says they can put on it. And it may not be, and most likely will not be, single-family home.
Yeah.
So let me chime in and just give you the business philosophy of this, Jen. I'm not going to necessarily disagree with you, but just say this, that we have gone through an extraordinary effort to try to identify anything that we're aware of right now, as of this date, that we have a commitment on. We feel that we have a commitment on 7 units. And then we said, and then we'll add this other part. While we don't know whether to be a multi or single, at one point we had duplex or single in there.
Yep.
But the basic problem I have with all of this is we don't know what amount of water we have, and so we're going to great lengths here to try to define something that's in the air. You know, we don't know. We have absolutely no idea. Number one. Number two. We cannot, we have a finite quantity. We cannot try to provide water for every possible combination of every parcel within our district with the finite amount of water that we will be bringing out of that new well. We have to finally say, as of this moment in time, this is what we know and this is what we'll plan for and this is what we'll allow. And the other thing is, Greg has said repeatedly, and I think this reflects it, he is willing, there's no one else that's standing up right now and saying, I will pay for water that you produce out of the potential future well. There's no one that said that today, that I've got my checkbook here, I'll write you a check as soon as you're ready to produce that amount of water for me. Greg has. And so I, you know, from a business standpoint, I have to respond. I have to hear that. I have to respect that.
We need it.
And we need it.
I hear that. Okay. And I understand that. I don't disagree with that portion. I just don't like to have our hands tied that if that Sundown or Parcel sells tomorrow, the guy's been trying to sell it for a long time, sells it tomorrow and they decide to put in, because we don't know what our obligations are. We know there's a parcel, we know that they're paying maybe a non-connect fee, I'm hoping, for this parcel, but to say, well, this says we didn't know about you as an obligation or something, and then our hands are tied, where legally he would be able to say, I want to have this many connections and I'll pay whatever fees you say, this limits us. This ties our hands, does it not?
It does, but right now, we couldn't, I don't know how we can meet every possible combination.
I understand it's first come, first serve. There's only so much water, but if they come in first and they're an unknown to us at this point, that's fine. We you know, they pay the fees, they're getting the water.
Your definition of the word, I think, is where you're
at. Is that what I'm
Let me interject just a bit more, because we had been talking about this during the meeting, and they're willing to add, and I don't know if this gets to your entire point, but I think it helps, but they're willing to add after the single family homes.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, any unknown legal obligations of the district. And then instead of saying to serve single family homes, including individual connections, duplexes, and commercial entities, and not including PRUD, condominiums, and multifamily.
Not
so it expands it a little bit, you know, it connects or it includes, you know, the individual type things and the duplexes, and if it's,
so it's,
you know,
just
an individual commercial entity.
Again,
he just is saying if it's a big, if it's a big development, then they need to go through the same steps as Summit has done to try to provide water for their development. That's the way it was described to me, but that's.
I think that's
and importantly, from my perspective, we have a development protocol in place that was worked on extensively that should be able to deal with anybody else that comes in with a multi-unit development, Paul. Isn't that what's going to be protective ultimately?
Yeah, yeah, that'll help.
Okay.
Sure.
Does that answer your question, Jan?
So anything that's beyond that would just go through our regular protocol, and then they would be required to find water.
I think that sentence should just be any unknown legal obligations of the district, period.
That'd be.
I don't want anything tying the hands that opens the door to litigation down the road.
The problem, I think, and I actually, now that you've explained it, makes sense to me, is that we've had all these requirements for Summit to provide their own water.
Mm-hmm.
And I think what they're saying is, if somebody comes in as a like entity,
mm-hmm.
they should have to do exactly what we did, and those water reserves or those water priorities, hookups, now shouldn't be automatically allotted to them. They should have to do everything we did. If it's single family, maybe a smaller.
Yeah, and so that's why I did bulk at the single family, because there are other small type connections that
right,
I could envision.
That are one or twos.
And so that's why we changed it to what I just said. They're willing to add that language that I just
read. I think it's more, I see where you're coming from.
They just feel like if we're talking big developments, we're first in line.
But where do you draw the line of big development? Single family, two homes, three homes, 10 homes, condo, I mean, do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
When you have it like that, I just think that you're opening yourself up to person says, well, eight, that shouldn't be, six homes.
We've got 94 gallons per minute.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we draw the line. We've only got, I wish I could calculate the number quickly for you, but we've only got a few gallons per minute excess that we're talking about here, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't any multi-unit that can come
that's
in.
That's if every house was built and using water.
Anything, the commitments we have right now, plus the seven, and then the additional 10%, that 10% is the only margin we have,
mm-hmm.
and that margin is not large enough to be able to support a multi-unit development.
Mm-hmm.
That margin just isn't there.
So they'll have to bring their own water and buy
their
own
water
from Summit, because Summit
whatever,
won't sell it to them.
Whatever.
Right.
And that's not inequitable, because we've required it of Summit,
mm-hmm.
and all we're trying to do is satisfy our commitments.
Right.
Any connection that is, you know, a non use connection right now, a standby connection.
Mm-hmm.
We've taken that into account.
Obligation,
yeah. and those are singles. There's no multiple there at this point.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no fourplex or tenplex. No one parcel is paying for 10 non-use connections or 5 non-use connections.
Right.
They're all paying for one.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they get.
And then moving on, just to get the broader view of what this whole section says, then the little two little eyes, the next section talks a little bit more about what Summit gets after that. You know, what's
what's their interest in the excess capacity be above the 94. And what they are being offered here is a right of first refusal to Summit, that before the water, any excess capacity is offered to any other multifamily condo or PRUD development that isn't already a plotted obligation of the district. So even above the 94, if you get any more individual type connection requests, Summit doesn't have a right of first refusal to that. They only have a right of first refusal to before being offered to any other multifamily condo or PRUD development. I felt like that was pretty limited. And the other thing that they agreed to was that they limited, it used to say 3 years, and they have brought it down to 18 months on this right of first refusal. And
the only thing I see with the right of first refusal, I was a proponent of it. I thought that was a good option. But the more I considered it, the more I thought Summit, being they want to be the sole developer on this mountain, they don't want to have any competition. They will pay for these excess. Anytime somebody comes in, that person now cannot build. They will literally have land that's worthless because they have no ability to get water. Because one, they won't be able to get it from us, buy it from us. Even if we say as a developer, we're going to charge you X, Y, or Z, you have to pay for water rights, etc., etc. Summit's going to come in and say, we don't want any competition here. We're going to buy that to prevent anybody else. And by the way, we're not going to sell any of our water from Bloomington or Hidden to anybody out there that would like to be a developer. I see that as a potential issue. Because at first I thought, right of first refusal, this is a brilliant way to go. They're not going to waste the money, you know, paying for water that they don't need right now or don't want. Or, but then I thought about it again, and they have really deep pockets, huge investors.
Comes in and they go and purchase water rights like Summit did.
Mm-hmm.
Summit can still block them.
Well, that's kind of what this is saying.
If they bring their own water to the table,
I don't know
not,
if
not
that
they, the
yes or no. I'm just saying. So. You don't think so? If they buy their own rights from where? Where are they going to get them from?
That is the same requirement
that
we have.
Bring their own water.
That's the same requirement we have of Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Is you have to bring your own wet water.
Right. But how are they going to do that if we're not willing to sell it to them and Summit's not willing to sell it to them?
Well, then
they get it
we didn't sell it to Summit. They brought it.
Summit had to bring it.
Right.
And if Summit's not willing to, or then they're going to have to find
somewhere else
or someone else. But that's exactly what I'm just thinking that Summit is saying, listen, if somebody comes
I don't disagree with that. They
need to do the exact same things
we brought this water to the table.
Yeah. Right. I don't disagree with that in theory. The more I thought about this, I thought they're making it not even prohibitively expensive, because if somebody wants to develop it, they'll the price of the house will be more because I had to pay for water rights. But it almost seems like you're preventing anybody from doing anything up there.
Summit is saying is treat another developer exactly like you treated us. We're not asking anything more, anything less.
Can I ask my own question?
Okay.
Let's say you go up the hill. Hold on just a second, Bob.
Talk loud though, so he can hear you.
Yeah.
What if I went up there and I bought a piece of property, and I didn't want to hook up. I didn't want to hook up. I just wanted to dig my own well. Can I do it? I can't do it
without a water right.
No.
You can't.
No.
This gal right here had a water right.
Mm-hmm.
She had a share. Sorry, thank you for defining that. And she's not hooked up.
No. She just owns the land.
Individual wells might still be approved up there with exchanges, but I don't think so.
And the cost for that?
Yeah.
Well, Jen, in my world, again, of construction, people are building stuff all the time and digging their own. They're digging their own. I just want to explore if they could possibly do that.
I don't think so.
Well, I think they could. I think they could go to Weber Basin and it depends on if it's one of those closed.
Buy an exchange.
Buy an exchange for a lower, that's done all the time where they're buying Pineview water and exchanging the point of diversion. That's a possibility. I think it is a possibility.
All right.
Just a point of information for me.
Go ahead, Bob.
Speak up.
Can't hear you, Bob.
Speak up.
I have a question for Carrie with a C. That defunct slab that's in the parking lot that's owned by Mr. Pappas, he claims he's paying 8 separate standby fees for a multi-unit development there. Is that not true?
Where
How does
is
that
it?
Fit into this whole
parking
thing?
Lot?
The cement structure that's in our parking lot, eight-unit condo.
That's live at five, a pending development, as far as I'm concerned, right there.
No, it's not Powder, yeah, it's right across, it's right next to our subdivision.
No, because I thought that was the one that Moyal was barking about the other day when he called me.
I don't think so. That's not Moyal's.
No,
he's barking about it because he was in the process of trying to get funding. I had to get paperwork from Angela because that was the part that they were developing. The developer lost the funding for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it hasn't gone anywhere. No, nobody's paying for that. That is null and void.
Oh, the one that's up top with the...
Yeah, the one that's up. Is that the same one you're talking about?
Yeah, next to Powder Ridge.
Next to Powder Ridge?
No, he's talking about Pappas's, which is next to our association.
It's an eight-unit defunct slab. Mr. Pappas told me that he's paying for eight separate connections there. He's going to be well within his rights to claim that he's had approval for eight connections. Well, is that going to fuck up against this prohibition that we're looking at with this revised agreement? That's going to be our first test case on this, I promise you.
Just a minute, I'll pull it up until...
But he's been paying non-connect fees, Bob, so...
For eight units, he told me.
Yeah, for 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, if Mark said he's paying it, I'm pretty sure he's paying it. But the other parcel that Carrie was talking about was the one, the cement structure that's up at Powder Ridge that was abandoned when the bankruptcy.
Right, there's a lot of those.
That's a different,
different group.
Parcel, yeah.
And
he's thinking about buying that one. Mike Moyal's thinking about purchasing that one. And I don't know what they paid or not paid, because that went into bankruptcy.
Yeah.
Like 5 or 6 years ago.
So, I mean, the reality on the ground is really important, particularly when we're weighing these considerations with this seemingly prohibitive language for multi-unit development. Mm-hmm. I understand James's point quite perfectly, and I agree. Somebody that comes in with a big new development, let them redevelop Pizzelle Springs. Let them buy the water from Summit. Mm-hmm. Let them find their own point of diversion in Cache County and pay for it. Let them pipe the water up from Pineview, whatever. But if there is an existing multi-unit development that has been paying standby fees and we don't recognize that, and then this language remains, I don't know. I mean, I don't even see why the language would be in there necessarily on an a priori basis. I mean, we're giving them right of first refusal. They glom onto every molecule that we don't use. And it's a done deal right there for them. I don't know why we have to create this language. The actual reality is they could hold on to that water, and rightfully so, and other developers would have to identify their sources of water, rightfully so, just by that process alone.
Do we know when this supposed development is going to proceed? I mean,
which one?
We have no idea.
Mike's, I guess.
He's trying to sell parcels to it now. He's trying to subdivide it and do all that right now. And when he bought the property, I think he assumed it was in the district. And I said, well, you know, if we have the water and you pay whatever it costs to do this, you can have water. But I understand Greg's point. I don't disagree with him. I do not disagree with his point of, hey, we're a developer. We had to bring wet water to the table. Another developer would have to do the same. But my fear is, it's like, where do you draw that line of, if we have the water, Paul, you know, because right now it's first come, first serve. We still have water because most of the homes are second, third, fourth homes up there. People come 2 weeks a year max. We are not even close to, you know, using the 800 gallons per household per day, not even close. Mm-hmm. And in the summer, the resort is shut down. They're not using water either, hardly, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's hard to gauge, you know, what point do we build our subdivision out, all 53 homes, and everybody else builds, and will we have enough for the last people into this? Mm-hmm. And who knows what the well will produce, who knows what in Lake has. So, but my point going back to, you know, I don't like when there's language in there that opens up a potential litigation.
No, I hear you, and I haven't heard about this particular situation.
Well, Mike Moyal,
it's a 9-unit development. I'm talking about Mark's now.
Mark's, Jennifer. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Okay,
yeah,
9-unit development. He claims he's paying 9 separate standby fees.
And I don't doubt it.
Who is it?
Mark Pappas.
Yeah, but what's, I mean,
What's the group name?
What's the group name?
I don't know the name of the group. What is the name of that
Banjo
guy?
Boy crazy.
Banjo Boy's only paying two.
No,
that
this would be
to
the guy that sent us the
billing like 8 or 9 for the month,
yeah.
Every month.
Summit. Is the Summit
no,
Sky
no,
Lodge?
No, not Summit.
No,
I don't remember the name
there
of the
There isn't
comments.
Anybody billing 8 or 9
for
There's nobody?
Nobody?
Not that I'm, no, that's why I'm saying Chase and Pappas is the only one that has...
Unless
yeah,
they
I
have
know
individual
it.
Lots.
Right, but
they
unless
have individual
I,
lots.
It's the Powder Ridge, Powder, and Summit, and...
Yeah, we're not, we've gone through all of
that's
this.
What I was
we
saying.
Don't
I was
we don't have a record.
Huh. I was basing
so
we're not billing
information
anybody.
We heard
yeah.
that there weren't
yeah.
any.
It,
yeah,
he has, that, he has a condo development that they started about 10, 12 years ago, and
then
they abandoned
it. I need to know the name
it.
Of the development.
Yeah, I'll have to get it from Mark.
But we don't have any multiples other than the one she's naming. I mean, we've looked at this, and so that's what we've tried to do is be exhaustive enough to identify
yeah.
this.
Well,
now, this just for your reference, we have 85 gallons per minute is what we need to satisfy
what we have.
Contractual obligations.
That's connected.
148 plus 7 connections, okay, at 800 gallons per day. We have to follow 800
sure,
gallons per
that's
day.
A state,
state law.
Requirement. Okay.
We need 85.
Mm-hmm.
Contract says 94.
Okay.
9 gallons per minute difference. That equates to about 16 connections, single connections. Okay.
Okay.
On top of what we may have a contract for. Okay. That's the margin that we have, 16. So that you get a magnitude here, okay?
Can we further clarify these particular two lots that we know about for sure, and then really carefully consider the language and just get this done? Is that
so,
too much of a...
Bob, the question is how do we, from a management standpoint, further clarify something that we've already clarified? We don't know of it.
Okay.
We
so
haven't been billing.
We know for sure that 8 connections aren't being paid on that defunct slab. Okay. Then we're okay on that one. If up at the top, Mike's not paying for 32 connections, we know we got a single connection up there. That's all I'm asking. Because Pappas told me 3 days ago that he's paying 8 separate connection fees for that defunct slab. Maybe he's confused with some other bill he pays. Maybe we are somebody, you know. But then if we don't recognize that or clarify that and then enter into this agreement that mm-hmm. he has specific language that refers to multi-unit development, it don't matter if we got excess. We're creating a document, an agreement that's potentially prohibitive and inflammatory. In a lot of ways. And I mean, I don't think this would take more than a day to do. I mean, I'm hearing, based on my review of this email trail between Ann and Rachel, that they need to craft a mechanism for the, you know, the right of first refusal payments.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're gonna get to a vote today on adopting this or not.
Well, the reason that I was just gonna say, the reason that we opted to separate out that right of first refusal stuff, and I hadn't gotten to that, so let me just explain real quickly, is that Ann and I had both identified, just from like a lawyerly sense, this is nothing controversial, but usually right of first refusals have a little bit more substance to them in discovery.
Okay.
What does that mean? Mm-hmm. Like, okay, we notify you, how do we notify you, how many days do you have to accept or reject the right of first refusal offer and all that.
Got it.
Anticipate just a few paragraphs. And in an ideal world, we would have had it worked into here,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't have time before today. And we were under the impression that everyone wanted this agreement to be signed today. So we opted to put a statement in there that we will do a side agreement
mm-hmm.
that just lays out the right of first refusal requirements that should
mm-hmm.
not be
okay.
controversial or anything. So my impression is that, yes, everyone would like to have this signed today, or I mean approved today.
Question.
Oh, I wanted it approved under... terms like 5 months
I know,
ago.
I know. I'm just saying.
Just a question.
But I mean,
that,
we're not
I'm just saying that the right of
first
refusal language is not the reason to
are
delay
they,
this.
Are they paying like having like an option for this right of first refusal? Is there going to be anything like that or no?
Good question.
Because if, you know, normally like having an option, you pay for that, whether you exercise it or not is a moot point, but you've paid to have that position. Are they paying for this right of first refusal?
No, paragraph B is their position that we've done all this good stuff for the district and so, I mean, that's the big.
Okay, so they feel like they've already paid for it.
That's the big question of the day, yeah, I mean, that's.
Well, that would be my question, you know, are we going to charge?
Additional consideration.
Are we going to charge them for this right of first refusal? It's like having an option, it's tying our hands from giving it to somebody else or selling it to somebody else.
Well, let's put it this way, again, I don't mean to go point on point with you necessarily.
No, no, it's okay, I just wanna open these things to discussion, there's ideas in my head.
We continue to use their well and we will have to continue to use their source.
Greg made that very clear.
Yeah.
Trust me.
And I have to. And I have to nod affirmatively because, you know, we do, and without it, we're toast, you know.
Well, the state wouldn't allow us to not have culinary water. They would step in and say, there's water, you gotta give it to them. But you're right, they haven't charged us for it. I trust me, that was mentioned many times.
I'm sure it was, it was to me, but I'm,
yes, I know.
I'm operating.
I'm just opening it for discussion.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
you
fine.
Pay for an option, is there, they're gonna consider that payment, you know, going forward when we have our own water, and I'm just curious. Any thoughts?
Well, no, moving it up to 18 months and us being able to say, all right, here it is, now give us money, to me was a good gesture also in that that
yes.
some cash
if
flow.
If Summit
going.
Does not use and pay for
within
all the portion
months.
Of the excess capacity within 18 months, it's not
but
just
we
pay,
have
it's
they have to
pay.
Use it.
And that was interesting because that was their language
well, we
they put in,
well.
And they didn't just say pay for, they said use and pay. Okay?
You need to.
Within 18 months. Yes.
I think that, you know, that language right there, Jen, use
yeah.
and pay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we have some foundation to stand on there.
Okay.
And I'm comfortable
yeah.
in that.
That.
I, you know what? I'm comfortable in that. We built in a 10% overage.
Mm-hmm.
I realize that we're going to be, we do have some restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
I do have concerns that if this Pappas guy
mm-hmm.
is legitimate, are there other Pappas guys on the mountain?
Well, there's the other units that are up next to the Powder Ridge condos. You don't see them when you come in because you go to the office. To the end of it, if you're coming down from Hidden Lake, there is a I don't know how many units were planned to be in there that went into bankruptcy maybe 6, 7, 8 years ago. Powder Ridge or RCI or whatever battled and they got it out of bankruptcy. They owned it and now I think it's for sale. I don't know how many units are in there, but if you look at the layout, it looks like about two buildings.
There's
with maybe
two buildings. I
with
actually
four
have
to
plans
six
on
per,
that.
Yeah.
You know,
so I have the 8 to 12 maybe in there. I don't know what their situation. Again, they went into bankruptcy.
I respect that, and I realize we would be short-sighted not to consider that. But
exactly.
When it was 10, 20 years ago. 10 we
years
can't do today before. And hope for tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
We've got to have some answers coming forward.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think we need to move
but,
off of center. I realize that there's been some concession made,
right.
certainly on our side, but
right.
on their side as well.
Sure.
I think we take the ball, move it forward now, and then we fight those battles in the future.
Can we put those in as exceptions to this? Because they are known to us right now. Can they be specifically put into this agreement, so that those
right,
owners?
I don't know. Maybe today he would. I've been down that road.
I would like it because they're known. There's cement structure. You know what was going in there. Whether they
providing these specific cases are excluded. If we could just say we're ready to sign, providing these things can be excluded.
Yeah, there's
we
two
go
zones.
Forward.
There's
or is that
two,
too much, Paul? So honestly,
there
you've
are
been the one
two
talking.
Zones. There
and
are cement structures.
I think
there.
The issue that I
foundations.
And again, we always the master negotiators right here. But I think we made it really clear after Bob's second review that there wasn't going to be any special considerations for Summit in this Powder Mountain board from the
mm-hmm.
commission.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's why you started to feel a little thawing of the leveraging.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, with all the concessions that have been made, I mean, are they at the point where they feel like if you keep going back, they're just going to say, we're done? And that's what my concern is I think through Commissioner Gibson and through a little bit of the dialogue that I had, and I know the dialogue that Jim had, you know, we made it really clear that this needs to get done. And so I guess what my concern is that they've even made some concessions on the fly here, and if we keep going back, at some point they're going to say no. And again, this was my concern from day one that I expressed to Bob. Is Bob still on the line?
Bob's on the line.
expressed to Bob is that we're already looking for increases. We're already looking at a possible tax hike. We're already looking at a million here and a million there. We can't afford a $500,000 or $1 million lawsuit.
And no, that's, we can't.
I don't know if you can. I'm concerned. I don't think, from my perspective, that I can. And I don't want to get to a point where they say, you know what, let's just figure it out in court. That's been my concern from the very beginning, because Wolf Creek got into it with them and had raised, and so if we are right there on concessions on their side and we've made concessions on our side, I just don't want to push it to a point where they just say we're done. That's my concern.
You know, Jim, that's true, but it's also true that we don't want to put our existing customers have properties that they bought.
But I haven't really heard that. What I've heard is the what ifs. The next customer coming in wants to do something. That's what my.
Well, I'm saying the existing. We have, you know, foundations to condominium, multifamily built structures up there existing.
But I'm not sure if this is.
It's history, you know. I mean, it didn't happen, and the only contract we find on that condominium project is for 7 more connections, and that's plowed into the deal.
We crafted it based on the obligations that we could find.
We already have.
Yeah.
Now those
foundations. So I mean, you're bringing new information to me. If there's allegedly more obligations that we aren't aware of,
yes.
You know, I'm
there. There are some that.
Where are they? Where are they in writing?
Well, and are they obligations if they're not paying if they're really not paying the hookup fee, which you're saying they're not.
They're not.
So
you're saying they're not. He's saying Mark Papp's saying he is. And there's that other structure there that's existing.
I need to know what it's under there, because it's not under his name.
Yeah. No,
I don't want to wait.
But you're saying there are no others.
Is there so that we, and I realize our time is where it is.
Yeah.
Is there a way you can find that out right now?
I've got it pulled up. I just need the name of the condominium or the whatever, because everything in here is basically Summit and Powder Mountain and Powder Ridge.
But the summary that you did for us in April didn't have anything that was multiple other than
those up there, other than those Powder, up there.
And
whatever.
We went through an exhaustive search. I mean, you looked at plats, and you've matched plats and ownerships with connected and non-connected, mm-hmm. and we've counted all of those, and we've counted them again.
If I had the name, I could
pull
it up.
But look for anything that's of a larger number.
I did. I'm sitting here going through everything. These are all, everything that I build is either Powder Mountain, Powder Wet, or Summit. Mm-hmm. I'm not finding any, and whatever I have under the name of Chase or Pappas is that one single lot.
Yeah, you're not finding anything that's high enough dollar value that would get your attention. So I'm saying we're not collecting money on it. So where's the
obligation? It does not look in the district's record like there is an obligation that you are referring to.
Unless it's under a name that I'm not aware of.
Yeah, but you just look at the amount.
That's what I'm saying. There's nothing in
here. Well, then why are you saying unless there's some other name? I mean, you look at the amount on that right-hand side and tell me that there's something other than the numbers, the entities you're familiar with
None that we haven't accounted for.
How do you say there are then?
So it's. I think there's never any way to guarantee that going forward we're not going to find something we missed, and we may have to go back to Summit at some point and say, "Gosh, something happened here." But I don't want to see a maybe. There's something, you know, that we can't find. Stop us from moving forward, because I think we have too much critical work to do right now. You know, and I think this. I tend to agree with Commissioner Ebert on this point that I have all the same concerns that you've all expressed, but I think if we go back again at this point, they're probably likely to just say enough's enough. You know, I think this is the language. I think we're lucky to have got the new language that we got this morning, because from my perception is that, I mean, I'm surprised at that, to be honest.
So I'm going to bring up some.
These negotiations have been going on for less than 24 hours, Gary.
So can I bring up something? When I was
we've been doing this for 6 months.
Yeah, when I was out of the country,
we actually are moving off the diet a little bit quickly.
Oh wait, sorry, Bob. Say it again.
The pace of these negotiations has dramatically accelerated since yesterday afternoon.
It has.
There was an emergent conference call between Rachel, Don, and we're going back and forth urgently here. It's not imprudent for us to take to kind of really consider this multi-unit facet here, because there is risk. I want to get this deal done. I can't even tell you what a headache and silliness this is. Okay. And a lot of it was avoidable, okay? I mean, for sure. But I think we have a day or two, okay, to drill down on this, let Rachel catch her breath, really think some more, let Don give his feedback, let everybody really think on this, and then come back with an emailed final version. Carrie, you call every board member, you get a vote. And then sign it, okay? I mean, I think that's the prudent course, rather than, you know, playing for the last shot here in the last 20 minutes of a two-hour board meeting.
So what is the crux of the singular point that we're talking about?
Multi-unit developments.
So
not even just multi-unit. It sounds like this one particular person's multi-unit.
Just the one commitment we have out there that possibly could be multi-unit.
And I'm not sure what our direction would be to go back and analyze this more, because it looks like we have the information in front of us, and they're saying it's not there.
Well, potentially more than one.
So I'm going to make a motion, but not in this meeting. But I'll make a motion in the next meeting that we approve it based upon the identification of a possible commitment in multi-housing that we've already made. And once we identify that, if that is true, then we have that exemption. And if it is not true, then we just continue on. The chair can sign the contract, and we can move this forward. If there is a commitment we've already made, then we have to have an exemption for that commitment.
We must have commitments, because there are two foundations that we know of in the ground. They must have had a will serve.
So we ask them to prove what they're...
Who knows where it was, from years ago. I don't know, but they would never have gotten to a foundation in the ground.
Yeah, other than that,
they would not have a foundation without a will serve. They would not have that.
Well, but what constitutes a commitment?
Because the proof that the district has doesn't have there. So are you suggesting we go to these people and say, show us the proof that we
either show us the proof, but I'm saying, like, the one that went through the bankruptcy up top, who knows what transpired. But obviously they had some commitment for water from Powder Mountain Water Sewer. Otherwise, they wouldn't have $2 million worth of cement in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing with Mark Pappas's, $1 million worth of cement in the ground. They wouldn't have that.
But we have to have that. We have to have that in writing, a contractual agreement. And if we have that contractual agreement in writing, then it would not fall under this agreement.
I agree.
Are you comfortable
with
that?
But, well, no, because the one up at Powder Ridge, I guarantee there's no records of anything.
Then
yes, there is. I have them.
Oh, you
have
them. Oh, you do have them.
One on Powder Ridge, that one that she's referring to, that blank cement lot, I have from the county. I have the will serve letter, but it's null and void according to the county, because it went into bankruptcy. They have to completely start all over again. I do have it.
So this is probably developmental lingo.
Right.
So it's back to the one circumstance.
It goes back to the circumstance.
Okay.
So
that's what I'm saying.
So my recommendation is, and it goes back to one of the founding principles that I go to, and that I have specifically, Jen and Bob, I've said this to Bob. Everybody in the room knows this.
Okay.
You can't build a reputation on what you're going to do. You can't build a unit on what you're going. You can't. You have to prove it. So if with that, they've got to, if that particular circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
They've got to go through the same thing, and anyone who buys a bankrupt property should know that going into it. And I don't imagine...
They don't succeed to all the previous entitlements that were granted that fell apart.
Right.
That's right. So that kind of helps clear the air, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
So are we ready to exit this executive meeting and enter back into our public meeting?
Is there anything on board?
If there's, if I may...
Yes. Bloomington, too.
Go ahead, Bob.
It's apparent that we've been struggling to get this easement over time. I think we're on the threshold of getting to a agreement that benefits both parties. There's a motion that Jane is going to make that's completely on point and reasonable. It just requires a little bit more of a lift. I need to personally review the exact language of whatever this agreement is, and I'm willing to take ownership on communicating my thoughts directly to the chairman. Okay. If we sign off on this easement agreement and get this easement, then Paul's good for go and all the things that we know. I do not think that there is a reflexive need to immediately issue a permit for drilling at Bloomington. There are other critical important steps that need to occur at Bloomington. So I would bet that you'll get a call, Carrie, with a K. Can you sign off on Bloomington? We've got our drillers here. We need to make payments. I still want to hear from Don and Paul, our engineers, about the risk profile related to that drill. We still haven't heard, according to Don, about moving the point of diversion. What other safety things are in place? We've got to review this cost-sharing agreement for trucking water. All that stuff needs to be done. And so until that's done, just as a cautionary tale, signing off on the issuance of the drilling permit, I think, would be very, very much of a mistake. I want to issue that, but there are intermediate steps.
Well, Bloomington is next on the agenda. Paul?
For sure.
Lead us out.
Okay.
I'm getting body language here. All right, here's the deal. And here's what's transpired so that you understand the history. There was a hurried called meeting about 6 weeks ago that Don attended and facilitated it at a state office building on North Temple because he was flying out of town with the driller, with me and my staff, with Laughlin and their staff, the geotech for Summit, and Jeff Morrow and Rick Everson, their people, and Jeff Warblow, I'm sorry. We went through, and the driller, and we talked about the all of the options and all of the possibilities, and can we move the point of diversion? Can we do this and that and the other? And there were assignments left relative to that. Coming out of that, and as a result of that, the word came back from Summit and the driller, or Summit and the geotech.
Did we just lose Bob? Bob?
Bob, are you still there? Bob?
Bob, I think Bob just got off. Look at the lines. Look at the.
Okay.
So we just lost him. So we need to call him back. Sorry, Paul. Just trying to help you.
Sorry.
Is that answer? Does that mean answer?
Hello?
No, hit answer. Hit receive.
I'm not going to answer the third. Okay. Well, that's not
emotional. Oh, it's probably my aides on and off. I probably have to shut it off and do it all over again.
Okay, shut it off and do it all over. It keeps it safe.
We just have to be clear about what proof needs to be. Because I don't know what
that contractual. There has to be a contractual agreement to provide water.
Well, there had to have been one at one point.
But if we can't,
saying the bankruptcy.
Even if there was 20 years ago, but there's no documentation. No documentation means no.
She has documentation for the
yeah,
one.
But the one you're at, I'm just talking about the one that you're concerned about.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the one here that you told Bobby's team for 8.
Welcome to the Weber County Conference Bridge. Please enter your PIN number now. I'm sorry, we did not receive all the digits dialed. Please try again. You are the first member of this conference call. Thank you.
Bob, you back? Yeah, what was the body language you said? Somebody reached across and disconnected the speakerphone?
Yeah, he reached across and grabbing his neck.
Yeah, and I was grabbing this phone and trying to shake you, Bob.
We can't do anything.
Okay, so I took you to the end of the meeting, didn't I? With Don and the well driller and everybody at the state's office building. Following on that, word came back from Summit and all of their people. No, we are not going to change the point of diversion. We are you know, there's more problem than there is solution to that. We will not change the point of diversion. We're drilling there. That's where we have the right to drill. So that's where that was left. Subsequent to that, there was a phone conference call, phone thing between me and Summit and a driller. They called it a pre-construction meeting. It was the worst pre-construction meeting I've ever been around. But at any rate, they talked about what they're going to do and when their mobilization is planned and what they need to do to get ready to go. And they talked about water delivery and, you know, who was responsible. And at that point, I said to Summit, we will deliver to you an agreement for reimbursement. They said, fine. Following on with that, of course, now we have proceeded to, because we have to do the water company has to get the permit to truck water and has to make the contract with, we're going to buy it from Wolf Creek Water, and has to make the contract also to for the trucker and, you know, all of that stuff and get the permit from the state. So it's on us to get all of that done because we're the water company. They're not. Summit's not a water company. And so we have taken those steps. We have not made any obligation to anybody yet, not signed any contract with anybody to deliver water. But we have filed with the state, and the state is comfortable with what we're filing.
You're in process. You're moving forward.
Exactly.
Okay.
And Bob, you know, so that, you know, and I've made noise to some of you. You know my position relative to this, Bloomington.
Sure.
I understand that we don't want to give up any leverage, but I'm, you know, again, I warn that time is not on our side. Relative to having a redundant source. And you and I agreed 48 hours would be fine. But, you know, if we start talking into 3 weeks or a month, I'm done.
No. And so, you know, Paul, are they going to move the point of diversion? I mean, 50 feet versus, I mean.
No, they are not. They are firm and adamant about that. They will not.
You know, then that's just nuts. I mean, That's too close. You move it 100. I mean,
mm-hmm. It would be nice. And we talked, and Don led the charge on this, and we espoused all of the reasons why it would be nice to move it. Gives you a little bit more safety margin, so forth and so on. But when it comes right down to it, at the end of the day, from my perspective, we're trucking water to meet the supply needs of our district. And we'll truck water, and they will pay for trucking water as long as it takes to be able to get either the well back, the Hidden Lake well, or the Bloomington well proved up, or we have a new well online down in the valley and have constructed a water line up. I don't know which it is, but they will pay until that happens, and they will give us good quality water in the interim.
Or their successors at that point.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Okay.
You know,
I can't.
That would be Bob LLC.
Drilling safety is, yeah. I mean,
Dr. Bob LLC.
What do you want to do, Paul? I'm up for getting the easement and drilling at Bloomington, but not if it's like just this crazy.
I'm you know, here's how I feel. From a business standpoint, Summit has made Herculean good faith efforts to bring us to yes.
Yeah.
Whatever it takes to get to yes. I don't have a dog in the fight. You want to stall it out till the cows come home, go ahead. But do not stop Bloomington. That's my final word.
Can I ask?
So Bob?
Oh, totally not regarding Bloomington. Annexation?
Oh, we can deal with that also. I mean, you know, charge the living bejeejis out of them for the water.
Over a year ago.
I know, and they acknowledge that. And again,
part of the development agreement, by the way, they're in breach of
that's
the development
right.
agreement in a big, 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 huge way.
I've had interaction with them about that. They want to meet in person and talk about it. They've admitted to me.
Yeah,
they don't want to do it because they
want to
split. You know, I mean, they've given us all the reasons, And I say,
but the reason the development agreement states clearly, as soon as possible, as reasonably, the time frame was reasonable.
Sure.
I don't think a year and three months is reasonable. But
they have been blatant about that. I agree with you. But you know what? We have a way of getting even with them, Jen.
Yeah.
Take their money. I'd love to take the three connections right now, $33,000.
Well, right. Let me just say, I received an email this morning, and I've got it with me from Edge Builders. They're willing to pay for the other five connections right now, on top of those three that are going to be another seven next year for those two developments. So
they're going to give us $88,000. I'd love to take that $88,000,
right,
pay off some obligation, or start paying it down, number one. Number two, charge the bejeebies out of them. We give them an extra district beyond the district.
Extra territory.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm all wound up.
Charge
for that, and make money off of them, you know.
Absolutely.
And
they're trying to decide if they want to do another district.
Yeah, well, they're trying to decide, we'll just milk them, you know, for a change.
And I would say, if they're still trying to do another district and they're still not thought process, let's show them this is the best district to stay in. And that's something Bob's told to me over and over and over again. Let's get them up and running and show that we can provide water and we can be what would work for them. So maybe they won't decide to do another district.
It was great. Yeah, regarding the other district thing, I just will tell you, I got an email this morning asking that if I could attend a meeting on...
Regarding
this? No, but
I can't remember.
Greg
know.
Told me
on
that
Friday,
they need our approval to form another district.
They want to have a meeting on Friday with me, and now I can't find the email.
Is that true,
Dawn?
Paul? They need our approval for another district?
Folks, could you be available
is that
to
true?
Me Friday
Greg
afternoon
told me
to discuss scenarios around a potential special services district?
That the state, we need to say yes, it's okay for them to form this, otherwise the state's not going to let them form it.
I guess. I haven't
true?
Gotten into the legal. I leave that to Rachel.
I think that would be extremely helpful if...
Just so you know, they are thinking about it and they want to talk about it this week.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness, I'm not available for that.
So
I'm not sure I am either.
Anyway.
And I'm not sure I'm the right person for that because Mark might be
okay,
the one
back
to know.
To,
okay,
sorry.
So anyway,
this is kind of delving a little outside of closed meeting territory.
Yeah.
So
anyway,
okay.
you have my unadulterated feelings about things now.
So what
does unadulterated mean?
And I would like to know how much, what's the value of the exchange rate on bejeebies? I don't know what the bejeebies at. I don't know what the exchange rate is on that.
It's going
to
be high.
So where do we want to be when we come out of closed meeting on Bloomington?
So that's my question to Bob. Bob, is there not a process that we can put in place that would make you feel comfortable that this well is being thoughtfully moved forward? Is there not a policy we have? Is there not a state process that they're required? Are we not comfortable with what the state requires in drilling a well that would make you feel comfortable? Or is just drilling a well just kind of this heebie-jeebie thing that you can do with no rhyme or reason? I thought there would be some type of requirements.
I don't know about the state requirements, but I'll tell you for sure, James, and I don't know if you've got additional personal insurance over and above the policy the district has.
I do. I take it out through Jim Harvey Insurance.
But our trustee's insurance does not cover service interruptions, okay? The district's covered for $1 million for service interruptions.
Mm-hmm.
Our trustee's insurance does not,
mm-hmm.
okay? So if we knowingly, I'm just thinking out loud, Rachel would know better. I mean, there's immunities and all this sorts of stuff. But if we assume undue risk, okay, and these wells somehow interconnected because Summit's drilling crew, you know, just punches through one aquifer into another. And all of a sudden, it's not just sort of a week, but it's a nightmare scenario where, as Paul says, they just keep paying and paying and paying. They go belly up. I mean, where's this water going to come from? And aren't we going to be at risk from our customers for making that kind of decision when there's an alternative? Okay, it's called... get the easement, put a test well at Cobabe, put a production well down there, if there is water, the test well, and then you've got water, okay? Unadulterated wet stuff, okay,
there's
with zero risk.
There's a lot of it.
You know?
Adulteration going on, apparently.
It's an adulterated world. So that's going to be a question that I'm going to be asking as a customer,
mm-hmm.
okay? When all of a sudden I get hit with a 10 grand bill because Summit packed up their bags, and all of a sudden those water trucks have invoices with Powder Mountain Water and Sewer attached to the windshield, okay? And we don't have water. We don't have potable water. We don't have anything. There's the drilling risk increases the closer those holes are. Don's been explicit about that, okay? Now, unless CRS or Barnett Water want to assume this risk, I don't know. I mean, this is the first I've heard that they weren't going to be moving that point of diversion. So I'm stupefied. Give an answer.
Wait a second, Bob. If they move the point of diversion, we're okay.
It's less of a risk. Don claims going 100 feet, 150 feet away versus 50 feet. The fracture planes are further away. There's an exponential drop off on drilling risk. That's what Don says. I don't know what that means. Yeah.
You'd be safer, but administratively.
I think what I need to hear from Paul is what is the risk on the other side that we don't move forward with Bloomington, basically now, so that the same thing, so that we have this second, this second track. What's the risk there?
Okay, here's the timing. Number one, I hate submersible well pumps, and that's what we have. And at the depths we're dealing with, that's what we deal with. Those suckers are so doggone temperamental, and I have firsthand experience with that.
Yeah.
Number two, we have a year, a delta in time of a year at best between when Bloomington can come on and when the new well would come online and be able to deliver water to us. A year, at least a year difference in time, longer for us to deliver water from a new well than Bloomington.
So when you talk about when you talk about service interruption, that to me seems like a bigger risk than the one that Bob just described, to be honest. Right? Within a year period, within that year or more period, that we could have a problem with our current system and we don't have a redundant source, and then there's that year period between when Bloomington could be producing in Cold Bay.
Death
by bullet to the brain.
There's the state that's sitting by impatiently waiting for us to meet the requirements that we were noticed on a year ago.
Bottom line, to answer, I think, Commissioner Ebert, Trustee Ebert's question of is there something kind of pressing about Bloomington, I believe there is, because
so do I.
The reality is it's that quicker redundant source. I was concerned about Bloomington with the thought that we wouldn't be able to proceed as quickly with Cold Bay, but it looks like now that we're there, I would like to get Bloomington online as quick as possible so that we can have that second source of redundancy as quick as possible. And if we don't do something today or roundabouts with Bloomington, then we do miss the year, the opportunity for the rest of this year. And that becomes, then we're right back in the same spot. So
that's true.
The bullet to the brain, I get it, Bob. I feel the same way.
We have a gun on the table here just in case, Bob.
So
I choose poisoning it, it's a little more entertaining for the crowd.
So I guess my point is I would like to have a motion when we come out of this session that we move forward with with the Bloomington thing as well. So be thinking about what that looks like if there's any.
But you're saying where they want to drill now, not moving the point of diversion, allowing them to drill.
I'd rather them move the point of diversion, but I don't think that's a deal killer to me. I think Bob is right that it probably increases the risk slightly, or maybe more than slightly. I don't know, but they're not willing to do that, and we're making progress on Cobabe, right? I feel like we need to get Bloomington going.
Yeah, I do too.
Okay, so here I'm going to make a blanket statement. I'd like to go ahead and do the Cobabe deal with what we talked about, and I'd like to go ahead and give them Bloomington, providing that they can assure us they're 150 feet, not 50 feet from the place. If that's and that's going to buy us at least another month if we come back with that, but it says yes and yes.
Yes and yes.
Well, it says yes and yes, because I'm just learning of this 50 feet, not 150 feet right now. Bob and Jen, I think you two are. Maybe you knew. I don't know, but it doesn't matter. But let's give them a yes and yes. There's a lot of background that goes in that. That also shows that the conversation that you had, Bob, with Greg yesterday also shows some good faith. And so if there needs to be an explanation Paul, to you, that sorry that that a third of the or more, the majority of the trustees learned of the 50 feet, not the 150 feet, right in the meeting. That's the reason we had the deal. And then if we say, okay, we need to bring it back and go to 50 feet, not 150 feet, then we can consider that in our next meeting. And within 2 weeks, you said we had to do a meeting within 2 weeks, but let's give them a yes and yes now. So if we come out of the deal, I don't mind making the motion, but that's the way I want to go. I want them to hear yes and yes. I think they've made some movement on this. I realize that we're compromising because of the future, but we learned about the bankruptcy deal. It gives them a yes on Bloomington, but it goes back to because the majority of the trustees learned about it in this meeting. And that onus can be on us, but it can also be on them because I felt like I should have known, too. So... And then, hey, listen, and we can give them some, if that's such a big deal, but you have to realize compromise is the only thing up there because they're at 50 feet. I got a little bit of a problem with that. And I don't think that it's good business for us to increase our risk because they're not willing to go with 150 feet. There must be a reason for that, but I think that's reasonable. Does that sound reasonable to you?
Fine.
Are you good with that, though, Paul?
I'll take it to the mat with them. Sure.
Okay.
Well, listen, I'll go to the mat with you because I used to do that stuff.
You've been on fire ever since you ate that pickle.
Okay.
Oh my gosh.
Okay.
Paul, is there a risk that we can assign to Laughlin and their driller at this point?
Maybe. That's a great idea.
I think
they're not going to take it.
No, or maybe we say that. That's a great thought, Bob. They either go 150 feet, not the 50 feet, or the risk gets put on Laughlin. And so that they have a choice if they want to do that.
Let's not forget Laughlin's the same crowd that put that well at the top of the hill and provoked a dumpster fire with our neighbors.
But
they had a fail well that even I wouldn't have acknowledged there's no water. These guys, they have a proven track record of screw-ups.
But what it does is it gives Summit then, it gives them a yes, and it gives them an opportunity A or B.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. I'm good with that. Okay. Once we find the issues related
very
to these
reasonable. Very
units
good
or whatever.
Sorry, I had a diet coke, I got to walk.
That's why I have it.
So is there any questions to any of that? Because if so, I'd like to move. We come out of private session, get Werbelow back on the line.
Just one
move.
More comment. When we make the motion regarding the easement, remember that language that I mentioned to you that they're willing to put in that hasn't been put in yet, and so that should be maybe part of the motion, is that they're going to add that.
What's the list?
There's a one sentence
that,
saying, because
I'll reference you and let you say.
Okay, because as now it just says single family homes,
right.
And they were willing to expand that at least to include duplexes, commercial individual entities and stuff and
got
such.
It.
I think we should at least take that,
I don't like that
from
one.
Them.
Okay.
But you certainly don't like it as just single family either.
Oh,
so
no,
this at
I
least
hate
expands
it.
That. So
I told you where I wanted the period a couple
I know.
Before that.
I know. So, but anyway.
After the word obligations, but I understand.
All right. Any other comments before we go on a closed session? Okay, we have a motion from Harvey. Second to come out.
Second.
Okay, the motion before us is to reconvene, to
next.
Come out of closed session, reconvene the public meeting. All in favor say aye.
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 Any opposed? It's unanimous. We'll make the change in the recording.